Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We're doing kind of a random show in the middle of the day. Kind of random, the way it works out, but I am back here with a handful of things to talk about. It'll be a shortened show as well. I'm sure some people are like, thank God he's finally going to do a short show. If this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, you can find it right here. It streams live in archives at blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. You can find it on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, a whole lot of different places where you listen to your podcast. There's a great chance you'll find the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast available right there. Some other options. We're also a part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That's available everywhere I just mentioned, including iHeartRadio. You can stream it there, and you can also stream it on Spotify as well, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's boxing, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net, read an article, listen to a podcast. While you're at it, place a bet. It'll send you right to mybookie.ag. Got a sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. Anyway, like I said, a shortened show. The way it works out, I got to close tonight, which means I'm going to be up really, really, really late tonight, so I'm not going to be able to do a show. Then I got stuff to do before work, and I got to work kind of late because the day before Thanksgiving is always a busy bar day. And I don't want to wait till Thursday to do it on Thanksgiving. So I'm doing it right now. Screw it. We're going to start the show with some recap from ESPN. Maurice Hooker pulls the upset, or at least in the ring, it seemed even more of an upset, being that Hooker kissed the canvas early in the fight. He ended up TKOing Saucedo. We'll talk about Showbox. We'll talk a little bit about DAZN. And we'll take a look at, you know, the fight weekend for Thanksgiving week, I guess you could say. There is some DAZN stuff and HBO stuff and all that other good stuff. We'll also talk a variety about a couple of different things. You know, a lot of people are making a big deal out of Spence and Crawford jaw-jacking on camera. I'll give my take on that. We'll talk a little bit about Wilder Fury tickets. We actually do have some information when it comes to that. There's a little bit more detail and information on, another option. I think I said that right on the show last, but I'll repeat it really quick. If not, speaking of Spence, Victor Conte claimed that Spence actually denied VADA testing instead going through USADA. We'll get down to the facts of that case. We'll see exactly what he meant. And, you know, just a variety of things. There is some sort of Tom Loeffler. Talked to Jake O'Donovan about VADA as well. So we'll talk about that. Just some other basic news. Of course, we know Broner and Pacquiao are doing their press tour as we speak today. I guess Broner, some people said Broner is being racist. I'm going to talk about exactly what he was talking about today. I can't say that I saw every minute of the presser yesterday, but well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Let's start the show with a little recap from Sato and Hooker, and maybe I should say Hooker first, right? You know, Hooker's on the road once again. You know, he traveled to take on Terry Flanagan as well. Kudos to Hooker just in general. He had the crowd chanting OKC. Hooker, actually, I thought it was a great first round, I thought, opening round anyway, for opening rounds, you know. Sato did have his jab going. Both of them had their jab going pretty well, I thought. Hooker landed some hard right hands, and I think it was a late uppercut, too. I gave him that first round. But then Sato landed a really hard right hand that caused the knockdown. And Hooker's nose was bleeding. Sato was landing more right hands to go along with the jab. You know, it didn't look good. There was another huge right with, like, I don't know, a minute left, 80 seconds left, something like that. It looked like it was the beginning to the end. Now, Hooker did manage to actually, and he landed. He had, like, a nice, I think it was a right hand and a flurry late as well. And even the back and forth in the third round, I thought, man, you know, it's Hooker's going to have to move more. And Hooker, as we know, had that long reach. This fight kind of worked out backwards to me. I did pick Sato. I thought, you know, once the fifth and sixth round would come on, that he would land big enough shots to, you know, really affect Hooker. And instead, it was, like I said, backwards. He landed those early, but then didn't follow up enough. And Hooker really started to move a lot more than he had previously. And I thought that was key to use that movement. I thought he landed better and a little bit more in that third round. I gave it to Hooker some. I saw I gave it to Sato. In the fourth round, it was left hooks by Hooker, a jab, uppercut. Sato was having problems cutting that ring off. We also talked about that last week. We're going to find out if he can cut the ring off. And I can't say he can at all, but, man, he was having problems. He did land some decent body shots, though. I'll say that. The fifth round, Sato got back even more into the fight. I gave him that round. He landed a left to the head, a couple overhand rights as well. Actually, left hooks to the body in the head. Where you saw Hooker kind of shelling up on the ropes, and that's where I kind of felt like mid and late, that's what the fight would look like. You know, Hooker would do a lot of good stuff early with that reach, with that right hand and that jab, but then it would he'd falter. Well, that wasn't the case, and, you know, you wonder, Sato is usually kind of a madman coming forward, right? He doesn't have a lot of head movement, but when he had when he scored the knockdown, and when he had him on the ropes, or even when he just had his nose bleeding, and he was definitely kind of affected in that second round, and to an extent the fifth round, it didn't seem like he went for the kill enough. Now, you don't want to go too much. I remember when it was happening, I thought, well, this is going to be an interesting part right here. I want to see what Sato does, and I was somewhat impressed that he didn't spaz out and get caught with something right then and there. But I also thought maybe he was being too careful. And as it turns out, maybe he was. Then again, I say that. And once he, you know, presses that button, once the switch is on, he's going to go for it and get caught anyway. So, but I did notice, I was like, you know, he's being a little patient. He maybe he knew he didn't have him really, really hurt. But either way, after the fifth round, you know, the sixth round, definitely another Hooker round, the jabs, the right hands, lots of right hands. And he also had, like, this jab, right hand pivot going on. There were some really good exchanges, though, like probably the last minute, 45 seconds, something like that. You did see Sato get cut. I think it was the left eye. Then the seventh round came around. Hooker hurt him early with the flush right hands, and it was like, okay, dude, it's over. And he started landing that right hand. It seemed like every punch was knocking him back and having a lot of effect. Every punch was just, you could feel it. There was a knockdown because of the ropes, and it basically turned into a TKO. It was over. It was over. So a guy that hit the canvas that was all bloodied up, that even had a little nice run that seemed to get stymied in the fifth round, Hooker found a way to grind back off the canvas on the road and get this win. And so kudos to Maurice Hooker, man. I mean, you know, I do still believe Darlys Perez beat him. Maybe he learned a lot from that fight. He definitely fought well against Flanagan. Of course, Flanagan kind of had a hollow record, if you think of how many, you know, fights he had. But still, you know, he did it pretty cleanly. And this one here, he scores a knockout. So big shout out to Maurice Hooker, excuse me. I just ate a little bit ago. I just burped, sorry. Big shout out to him, no doubt about it. Now, I didn't get to see a ton of the undercard. There was an undercard fighter, though. I don't know his name. I believe it was a four-rounder. Wow. He had no business being in the ring, though. There's clips of it all over Twitter. I believe I retweeted it, if you haven't seen it yet. The opponent, it's just horrendous opponent. It looked like he was fighting on ice, like on ice skates, or like literally on ice. Like he was so... He was twinkle toes out there. He was moving his feet. You could tell he didn't know what the hell he was doing. And he, you know, got hit kind of to the midsection, I think. I couldn't really tell where the landed or the punch landed. And it was a wrap. So, yeah, there's that. And then, of course, the Mean Machine got the W over some guy that was supposed to test him. I didn't think it'd be that heavy of a test. You know what I mean? But, you know, it was nice for the Mean Machine to actually get a knockout win and look pretty good doing it. So that might be next for Crawford. We'll find out. On to Showbox, the first fight was Jorge Diaz against Haggai. I think it's Haggai, Arnold Haggai. This was a pretty good back-and-forth fight, man. I thought it was a good fight. You know, I had Haggai winning, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I gave him the first couple of rounds. I gave him rounds one, round two. I thought he was boxing. I thought Diaz was boxing well in spots, but Haggai was just landing the harder shots. Both guys were kind of using some body work here and there. But it was a good pace to the fight, you know, starting out, no doubt about it. It did seem like Diaz was a tad busier, but he wasn't doing that. You know, he wasn't putting in a lot of that quality work. But that changed in the third and the fourth. Now, the jab, there was basically, you know, I mentioned jab in the last fight. I mentioned jabs a lot, obviously. It was basically no jabs and just landing, mostly just landing punches, you know, from both these guys. It got sloppy in spots. Haggai got cut, I think, in the third round. But, yeah, the third and the fourth just landed better shots. Diaz really impressed me. There was a left hand that hurt or at least buzzed Diaz in the fifth round. Diaz did manage to fight back. Haggai landed some rights and uppercuts as well. Nice left hook, I believe, down the last, you know, minute or so of that fifth round. Sixth round, I you know, actually the jabbing came out more. Now he was jabbing more, Haggai. He was kind of putting better shots together. He landed a left hand that knocked Diaz down. I think it was 40 seconds left of the sixth round. Seventh round was a close round. Could have went either way. In the eighth round, though, they're still throwing punches, trying to win the fight. Haggai had 155 lands to 137, both somewhat active, 461 with 34% for Haggai, and Diaz had 572, so he outthrew him, but only landed 24%. The judges had it 79-72 and two scores for 77 or 74, I believe that was it. I had it about 6-3-1, 4, maybe 7-3 comfortably. I kind of felt like it was 7-3, 6-3-1 or whatever. There was a couple of close rounds. The seventh round, I think I pointed out. Good fight, though. Good fight. Arnold Hagai moves on to 14-0 with one draw and 9 KOs. Now, Kenneth Smith Jr. and Sam Tia, this, for the most part, was Tia. You know, the fight kind of took a little bit to get going in the first couple minutes. It did. It was kind of active from there on out, though. Tia was landing uppercuts and hooks. Second round was definitely fun. I did notice Sims kind of get on a stick and move game in the third. The fourth, I thought Tia was landing the harder shots. He was pressuring and pressuring. Fifth round was close because there was a late right hand by Sims, but it just didn't seem like he was doing enough. Round 6-8 was more closer, more competitive. I still thought the better shots were landed by Tia, and I gave him it fairly comfortably. Tia landed 220 to 136 through 680 or 682, landed 32%. Compared to Sims, who threw 477. The judges had it 77-75, 77-75, and 79-73. I saw 79-73 more than I saw 77-75, but still pretty entertaining fight. But Sam Tia, you know, pulled off the nice little win there. So that was big for him, no doubt about it. And then the main event, Enis, what is it? I can't remember his first name. Jaron? I think it's Jaron. Enis took on Sariano, Ray Sariano, and took care of business, man. He came out quick-ass left hands, whether it was hook or straight left hands, with like a minute left. He was already having him on the ropes and flurrying. 45 seconds in, there was a really good exchange. In an exchange, I think it was a left hand to the body and a right hook up top. And the knockdown that Enis scored was like, or NS, that's what it is, NS. NS scored. Looked like a tree. You know, it looked like Sariano was just falling down like a tree. It was like timber. It was pretty brutal, but he did get up. I think it was a huge right hand. Sent them down again, and then again, and it was over. TKO stoppage for Enis, Jaron Enis. So that's a nice little win for him. We'll see him from here. I think the time has come to step him up a little bit more, no doubt about it. We do have, beyond the first, round or two, that dude who Big Baby Miller fought, he did actually have a pretty good jab early on. But that was it. And what was it? Fourth round stoppage. Clarissa Shields moved on and got a victory as well. I was watching this last night with some friends, some casual fans and just non-boxing fans too. This was on after the because we were watching the game, the Rams game. The Rams in a Chiefs game last night. And so I didn't score these as, intense, just because I didn't really think, I actually scored it, 6-4 for Rosado in that Arios fight. That was a good competitive fight. I did score that 6-4. Rios got the job done as well. He looked pretty good at 154 against Canelo's brother. Like I said, Clarissa Shields moves on, gets another belt. And sounds like she's fighting in a quick turnaround, I think, on that HBO card, from what I understand. So that basically sums up DAZN. I think I got most of the fights anyway. And obviously Nico won as well. Nico Hernandez, the guy who brought in the crowd there. I think they said 4,000. And, it's one of those things where, over half the crowd or like half the crowd, 2,000 people left when his fight was over. And Eddie can't be discouraged on that one. this is probably his best-selling potential one, where they actually sold all the tickets, or most of the tickets, maybe not all, but a good chunk of them. But it happens here. You know, it happens. We saw it with the Adam Mick and Big Baby Miller fight. A bunch of people left after that. You know, sometimes it just happens, especially when you're dealing with a casual fan base that knows this one fighter, and they came to see that. And if something's boring, or they're not into it, or there's a break, they just leave. Or sometimes it's just like, all right, let's go party. Our guy won. You know what I mean? And then they're gone, you know? So, yeah. So that's about it. As far as this weekend, not any kind of major weekend. You know what I mean? It is Thanksgiving weekend here in the States. So I didn't expect that much on the schedule. Telemundo has a card. That's on Friday. HBO has Dimitri Bivol and Jean Pascal in their main event. Nothing really, I'm definitely going to DVR it and check it out. You know what I mean? As always, DAZN also has Dennis Lebedev against Mike Wilson. And Cal, Yafif or whatever, Yafaya? Can't remember how to say his last name. I haven't seen him fight in a little bit. He's taking on Israel Gonzalez. That should be a pretty much a clean win for him. So DAZN has a card as well. But like I said, nothing really stands out. Hopefully, on these weekends, though, we say it plenty of times, that on these weekends, sometimes something pops off that you just didn't think would be that good. And then it turns out to be great. You know what I mean? And so that's what I'm hoping for. Maybe Pascal can does Pascal really need to be in another war, though? Maybe I want Pascal to get TKO'd early in the fight so he doesn't have to take that much more damage. I don't know. I clearly favor Bivol on that one. We'll see how he looks, though. He should look pretty good going against, a faded guy, obviously. In Pascal. Pascal did pull off an upset in December, though, to an extent anyway. But beat Alobi or whatever the hell that guy's name is. So, yeah. So that's it. Not a whole lot there in the way of prediction, just because, like I said, there's not a whole lot going on this weekend. Let's hope, though. You know, let's hope that there's a surprise fight or whatever, maybe on the co-feature. That's actually kind of what I want to see how Bivol looks, but I also kind of want to see some of these guys on the undercard I don't know a whole lot about. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, just as much as the main event, that's for sure. We had that PBC announcement last week. I don't have a lot of time to get into it. I'm sure as these fights roll around, I'll have a little bit of rebuttal or whatever. Some people thought I was, too easy on the schedule, and I guess I was, I don't know. I wasn't sitting there touting it, that's for sure. But I also appreciate mid-level fights. I also appreciate certain fights, too. So I'm not going to just say all the fights suck. Anybody that says all those fights suck, they don't really watch much boxing. Lamont Peterson and Sergey Lipinets, that's an interesting fight to me. I don't look at that as a garbage fight. Caleb Plant stepping up against Uzgadji, I don't look at that as a garbage fight. If Molina and Figueroa are on ESPN, if Figueroa signs the top rank and Molina and Figueroa are on ESPN, people will be like, dude, this could be a brawl. This could be a brawl. I remember a couple of weeks ago, people were all pumped up and talking all this big stuff about Bert Schelt and Roman. And we talked about it. We enjoyed it. We thought it was a fun fight, but we didn't make it anything bigger than it was, just like I'm not making Figueroa and Molina. But I do think you'd have a different viewpoint there. I stand by what I broke down each fight, and I stand by what I say on each of those fights. I didn't, I started actually ripping. Early and often, I started ripping on the cards. The Leo fight, I didn't like. But like I said, I'm not going to go too deep into that. Speaking of the PBC, though, couple items there. Wilder and Fury have now officially on the actual Staples Center, okay, on the actual Staples Center website, not a secondary site, nothing like that, not, you know, not these other sites that I brought up the last couple of weeks that were selling 300-level tickets, but it's official now. They have released upper-tier tickets, upper-deck tickets, for $125 and $75. So you can purchase them as we speak. You can still get some. Now you can see on Vivid Seats and some of those other websites that didn't have them available, they now have them available. You know, some people are like, see, Chris, see, Carlson, see, you know, some people actually still call me Carlito back in the day. Some people know that, some people don't, but not that it's some special code or something. but see, I told you they weren't available. I never said they were available on the normal site. And I also said that you have to go check a couple other the secondary markets, and they were very available for quite some time. I even have screenshots from early October when they were available. So, you know, why would they open up the upper deck if they hadn't really sold much on the lower? You tell me. Anyway, we're not going to go too deep into that. but we do know that's official. And also I believe I mentioned this last week, because I got my tickets earlier than the press release. A little birdie told me something, and it turned out to be true about the weirdo. Well, he is kind of weird in a good way. Both these guys are. Wilder and Fury is going to be shown in more than 400 theaters across the country. And by the way, Canelo and Rocky Fielding, that'll be in theaters as well. So just a heads up there. Some people are like, why would they put that in the theater? You end up paying more in the theater than you do online, you know, especially if you already have, you know, a subscription to DAZN. But, you know, it's really about the commercial. I said this for the Wilder Fury, too. To have the commercial that has Canelo and has DAZN on it, that makes a ton of sense. Just like Wilder and Fury, you know, you are able to market and touch an audience that you rarely get to touch, or maybe a casual, you know, mainstream sports fan, a casual boxing fan will go to a movie theater and they say, oh, you know, I did hear something about that fight. Okay, so that's next week, and I can go to the theater, and maybe they won't go to the theater, you know, maybe they won't. But, and I'm not sure, but just having that advertising, that marketing is what's key. I don't know if Canelo and Golovkin would for sure be in the theaters, just because that's one that where you probably want all the subscriptions there, you know what I mean? But it's definitely worth it on both sides, the Wilder Fury and the Canelo Rocky Fielding, because that commercial that they have right now with Michael Buffer, that's probably their best commercial to get their message out that I've seen so far, where you got Canelo saying it's free, and he said it's free. Yeah, it's free, you know, that type of thing. I thought that was well done. And kudos to both. That's cool. The pay-per-view is a little bit different on this one because Canelo and, you know, technically Canelo and Fielding is free or $10. So, you know, it's not as cool as a thing. And, you know, it is, to be honest, it's a fight that not a lot of people have a lot of interest in. I'm sure the UK fans are cheering for Rocky Fielding. But, you know, it doesn't have a lot of pizzazz, let's say that. So it's not something I'm going to go to the theater to watch that one. But both of them are in the theater, just a heads up. Another thing with DAZN. DAZN, actually, this is really smart. DAZN did a deal where they're going to be able to be an option for bars across the country. And that, you know, what that means exactly, like they scored a deal with the bars. Maybe these are the bars that ongoingly show UFC and boxing fights, between the UFC and boxing throughout the years. obviously, you know, there's plenty of bars around that do show these fights. You obviously have to have a base there, a fan base already willing to do it, because it's actually very expensive for a bar to do it. So I don't know if the bar has to pay for it $10 a month like everybody else, and that's it. So it's a step in the right direction to get it in U.S. bars just for, you know, I mean, it's not like all these bars where it has a capability of it. Now, are they going to need to, like, I'm a little confused on how they get it in there. Are they going to need a Fire Stick? Do you need a Fire Stick then, or an Apple TV or something like that, a Roku, you know, Fire Stick thing to make it work like the rest of us? Or, you know, it'd be cool if DAZN, and I know this is far-fetched, but it'd be cool, not really if you look at their pockets, though, but it'd be cool if they could maybe do a deal with, like, Best Buy or some of these big chains to, well, it wouldn't even be Best Buy, would it? It'd probably be the actual maker of the TVs, the smart TVs. But you know how, like, you could buy a smart TV for the last handful of years, right? And they already have YouTube. They already have Netflix. They already have Amazon. They have it right in there. You hit the little guide thing, and it pops right up. Well, it'd be pretty cool if they could already have it, like, do a deal with the TV companies in the U.S. or maybe, you know, across the world. I don't know. That seems like it would be a lot to chew off there. But the reason why I bring that up is because you still have to have somebody go to a bar and beat someone to a TV, because that's what it usually is at bars, unless you're doing a fight night. You know, that's different. But someone usually, you know, but just the run-of-the-mill fight, someone would have to go and be like, hey, do you guys have DAZN? Okay, now you got to go and go, you know, hit input and do all that stuff. Not like that's hard to do, but it's not like it's going to be just naturally on, unless it's Canelo, or if they get Golovkin and Canelo Golovkin and Golovkin fights. Then I think those places, you know, that's where I think they did the deal with the actual bars that consistently do it. Otherwise, did they pay for their Roku or Fire Sticks, or did they do a deal with Apple TV? You know what I mean? I wonder how. I mean, a lot of bars obviously have smart TVs, so I'm not saying it would be a big thing, but if you go to a bar and be like, hey, do you have a Roku or do you have Apple TV? Do you have this app? I need to watch something on an app. You guys, maybe some people know, maybe they don't. I don't know, but I think it's a step in the right direction. There is supposed to be at some point, and this is crazy, that bars actually don't have a Nielsen rating, so they actually don't know the exact rating through bars. And obviously sports is huge in U.S. bars, clearly, right? And so a lot of the ratings don't even show how many people, you know, or how many bars are showing them. So there is some movement, though, I've heard, that Nielsen is going to start measuring, you know, what the viewership in the bars are, people are watching in the bars. So kind of sounds like I'm talking about hip-hop. Bars. You got bars, man? Let's get some bars. I don't think that guy has bars. Anyway, so that's kind of cool. We'll see where it leads. Eddie Hearn's been talking about a kind of a mysterious wild card opponent for Joshua. You know, is it going to be Andre Ward? Some people were talking about Klitschko. I'm pretty sure Klitschko said, I think he cleared it up and was like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to do that. But I think this is a recent quote here from Hearns. He says, we're looking at all options right now. Like I said, we're not just going to sit around and wait for people and be forced into a corner to take those fights. So we do what we always do, which is career of Anthony Joshua. Make all the right moves and make sure his schedule is absolutely rock solid. So what does that mean? Not totally 100% sure there. But You know, I don't know, man. The mystery. It's a mystery, so to speak. I don't know. We'll see what he means. But I know he doesn't want to wait and stuff like that, but he doesn't have to wait that much longer to start going heavy in the negotiations, if that is the case. Anyway, as we know, Manny Pacquiao and Adrian Broner are fighting January 9th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas on Showtime. Tickets are available this Saturday. They start at $100, $200, $300, and then they go all the $5, $750, $1,000, and $1,500. So at least there's a $1, $2, and $300. I was wondering how they're going to price this. We'll see how that goes. And as far as, Manny Pacquiao, this is from Dan Raphael the other day. You know, as we know, we've heard that he had an eight-figure IRS bill, which was the key reason, you know, he wasn't fighting over in the U.S. This is according to Sean Gibbons, the matchmaker for Pacquiao at MP Promotions, and a Pacquiao confidant. Manny has had an ongoing payment plan with the IRS for the last 2 years. In a fight like this, I think the IRS will be happy because, you know, they'll be able to handle whatever needs to be done for his taxes. So sounds like Manny has been doing the slow roll when it comes to paying it down. So he's not just 100%. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you about the ratings for that Hooker-Cicito fight. They did 950,000 homes, and it started at midnight on the East Coast. Now, they did have, which is more than they would have done even on the normal time, if you look at the track record of the numbers. But they had a lead-in that was one point. There was a game, NBA game. There's a game earlier in the night that did 1.8, average 1.8, not peak. The game after that, the one right before the fight, was 1.7. Like I said, the whole card averaged 950. I'm sure it peaked over a million. Not quite sure exactly how that, the peak. They didn't mention much about the peak, but you know, if you go back and look at some of the numbers, that's still a healthy number. Some people were like, oh, it didn't do a million. But, you know, a lot of theirs hasn't done a million. And they needed that boost just to make probably peak over a million, if you look at it. Because a lot of their – without the lead-in, you know, this would have just – I know it was late at night, but, the lead-in really helped it, considering, because if you look at, things they were doing earlier this year, average 703, one of them. One of them averaged 701. This summer, 632, 535, 518, 686, 532, 662. These are averages that they've been averaging. With not the Linares fight and not a couple other fights where they, got a boost there. So that 950, and it probably peaked over a million, that's a good, healthy rating. And it was a good fight. It was definitely a good fight. There's no way around that. It was a good-ass fight. Really fun fight. So I did forget to mention that. Some people will bring that up and hit me up in my DM, and I got you. I did manage to do it. So it's not a chunk of much left of the show here. Now, there's two things we're going to talk about with VADA. The first thing, I'll just knock it out right away, was Golovkin in Canelo. There was some thoughts I saw with Jake Donovan. Jake was talking about, is Canelo enrolled? Yada, yada, yada. And here's what Tom Loeffler, Golovkin's promoter, said. He said, Jake, VADA scheduled a random test for GGG a week after the Canelo fight. I made sure that Canelo was also going to be tested, which makes sense. Next day, the random test was canceled. Strange that it was scheduled, then canceled. Maybe Canelo was already, he says, eating those steaks and celebrating his decision. Also, real quick, I forgot to mention this. Emmanuel Stewart is going to be a member of the class of 2018 Hall of Fame. Inducted into the USA Boxing Alumni Association Hall of Fame. A press release came out not long ago. So that's kind of weird that they said, hey, Golovkin, we're going to do a test. And Golovkin teams, Tom said, well, Canelo's going to do one too. And then it canceled. But as far as we know, he's still enrolled, Canelo. There has been some rumors about that. Another one, as far as Vada, this one pertaining to Mikey Garcia and Spence. We know Mikey Garcia is going to do some work for Victor Conte to get ready, to put on that weight, to get ready for the step up against Spence, step up in weight. Here's Victor Conte's tweet from a handful of days ago. He said that boxing greatly respects Mikey Garcia as a fighter and a person. Errol Spence also deserves huge respect for his boxing accomplishments. However, I'm disappointed that there will be no VADA testing to health and safety of both fighters. Why no VADA? And so that was just kind of out there. Why no VADA? What's going on with VADA? And as it turns out, it sounds like there actually is VADA testing. I'm sure we're going to get a 100%, you know, one way or another. Maybe now they're going to do VADA. I have no clue. I was a little surprised that that already wouldn't be in there since he's done it for other fights. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. What made him tweet that if that wasn't the case, or maybe it was the case and now it's not, you know, and now they are signed up for VADA. That I don't know. I'm sure we'll get a little bit of follow-up on that. But I just kind of wanted to update you guys on some of the VADA stuff that they were talking about out there pertaining to Golovkin and Canelo and Spence supposedly turning down. So a couple more items, then I'm going to be out of here. So Spence and Crawford were, you know, going mano-a-mano, eye-to-eye, and they were kind of barking and all that at each other. It was, you know, it was backstage at that Cejudo-Hooker fight. And, you know, one, I'll say this. It doesn't make the fight happen, what just happened there, but it does start to get the machine rolling. You know, we talked about this a couple of times in the last couple of shows with Bob Arum now saying he does want to fight Spence, like ASAP, whereas before he was saying late 2019 is what everybody's aiming for or what we should aim for. And it's about growing these fighters and making it a worthy view fight. And I thought, well, that is perfect because it probably does need to be successful on pay-per-view. It needs building. So, you know, they're going back and forth. And you can look at it both ways. You know, Crawford said, I pulled up on you, but did he really pull up and get in his face like he was going to fight him? You know, so that was kind of weak. Spence is saying, "All it's easy work. This, that, and the third," which obviously it's not easy work. They said, let's bet. How many times have we heard let's bet or let's bet the purses and all that? But once again, it's good for hype. People are talking about this fight now more and more, and that's what it's got to do. It's got to build up hype that way. Word of mouth has got to help with this one. But, you know, they said, let's bet. And Spence said, I'll bet you 100,000. And Crawford said, let's do $1 million. And they shook on it. Like I said, that's all just hearsay to me. We've seen so many people bet, you know, purses and all that, and just bet in general. And it's just hype. But hey, if they actually were fighters that, you know, surprisingly went out and said, we're actually going to do it, and they actually did it, and they had the checks ready and all that, you know, or put it in escrow or something like that, that'd be cool, but I just don't have my hopes up. But once again, it's good for building. Now, I saw a lot of people talking, right? You had Bob Arum right there. There's people in the media. There's people in Spence's team that are actually asking him, hey, you know, can we make this fight? You know, this, that, and the third. And they said, I'm ready. They're ready. And Crawford kept saying, you know, or he didn't keep saying, but he said, well, you guys said, Thurman and you guys said I needed a belt. Now I got a belt. Spence said, well, yeah, I'm going to fight Porter. I'm going to fight Thurman. And then I'm going to fight you. Why wouldn't I do that? You know, that was the – I mean, all, after all, that actually was the plan. Because clearly, you know, Aram already made it loud and clear that he's not going to match him with Garcia, even though that could raise his profile, especially on the East. He's not going to match him with Porter either. None of these guys, because remember his prospects that he has, Mean Machine and that Des Putin dude, you know, those guys are better than Garcia and Porter. And even, let's just say in theory they're better than them, which they're not. They'd have to fight to prove that, but they're not. But then again, they're definitely not known. Nobody knows these guys. So no matter what, you can't say a Danny Garcia fight wouldn't help the profile on the East Coast at the Barclays. That would do well over $2 million at the gate. But anyway, some people are taking it, you know, from the Spence angle. Some people are taking it from the Crawford angle. No matter what was said, that doesn't make the fight. The guy who makes the fight, the two guys are Al Haymon and Bob Arum. And once again, he said, hey, why don't you call Bob? And, Arum said, have you seen him? Have you actually talked to him and all that? Because remember, a couple weeks ago, Bob was the one saying that Al Haymon doesn't exist. And Spence called him out on that. I'll give him credit. He did call him out on that. But it's funny because you saw people saying, well, Spence was the calm demeanor. You know, he was the one that was actually calm, and he was asking questions to Bob, and actually, and some of his team were asking questions, which they were, but you don't go so deep into that and run with it. And then on the other side, some people were saying, look at Crawford wants the fight. Spence was the one ducking. And it's like, both these guys want the fight, but until – if Crawford wants the fight so bad, then go right to Bob and say, Bob, make him an offer he can't refuse. That's really – because the offer is what's important here, guys. Until they say – until Bob comes out and said, I ask their side, ask Spence, ask these guys, I made an offer to them. And, you know, he did try to say he made an offer to Garcia for Loma, or for Crawford, then Loma, but it wasn't an official offer. You know, he also did – Bob has talked to Robert Garcia, you know, the head coach and the brother of Mikey Garcia, and he said, you know, after the Loma-Checo fight, let's sit down and get it done. But that doesn't mean it's done. You got to make a real offer. And until – you literally have Bob Arum right there. But yet some people are saying, look, Crawford wanted to fight and Spence didn't. He admitted Spence is the promoter fighter now. It's like, dude, that's what was already on pace. Like, what are you guys talking about? Until they, one of the sides make a real offer, then the fight's not going to happen until then. Then you can at least get the ball rolling negotiation side. So what I take out is, it's just fun. What I take out of that situation, it was fun to see those two face-to-face, and it's good in the fight. But it means absolute, on both sides, the guys who favor Spence in the fight or favor Crawford in the fight or like the way Crawford. You can also say, you know, Crawford is usually a low-key guy, and he usually is real calm and says, hey, let's go on the parking lot. Whereas some people were saying, and it is true, that he was actually more of the louder guy. And so it's like, well, what was he all of a sudden now so hyped about? Whereas before, he's a lot more calmer. So you can look at it any which way. You can call Spence the promoter fighter. You can call Crawford a guy that looked a little like had a lot more energy than he normally does. Well, why? Were you trying to make up for your opponents? Or, you know, there's so many ways to look at it. I don't really take it, you know, with a grain of salt, to be honest with you. Is that it? I think that's it. Let me just double check really quick. There is one more. Pacquiao Broner. So I guess Pacquiao and Broner have in their press release, or press, not press release, but press tour. And I'm going to show you a clip now. Broner does say something about Asian people, but then he turns right around it says something about African Americans as well. So it's like he made a joke. Some people are saying he's racist for making the joke. But then he also made fun of, it's kind of like South Park. When you make fun of everybody, people don't get as mad. And so I'm just going to play the clip really quick and let you think about it. This comes from the Concrete Jungle. Just hear it out and see what happens here.
I want to say, thank all the media came out, you know what I'm saying? Even though y'all always talk bad about me, that's cool. I want to thank y'all anyway, you know? it's the truth. Y'all don't fuck with me for real. But, you know, it's going to be a hell of a fight January 19th. You know, I wasn't going to get up here and talk shit, but they promoted with them stretchy pants, got up here, was talking crazy. But to tell the truth, though, I just don't see Manny Pacquiao beating me. And before he beat me, he got a better chance of becoming a driving instructor. I'm just saying, though, like, I really wasn't going to come up here and say a lot of Asian jokes, but... Oh, now y'all get it, huh? Now y'all get it. Driving instructor. All right. I look at it like, you know, Manny Pacquiao, you know, he is Asian, but, you know, after looking at his life, you know, let's look at it. He drink Hennessy. He promote Hennessy. He fuck his money up, fuck up his taxes. If you ask me, he a black fighter.
So there you have it. You see what I'm saying? He did make a joke about Asians as far as driving. That is a stereotype here that does get that exists, right? But you know, he also just ripped into black people there. So I didn't find it overly racist, and if you did, you know, he was dropping N-bombs, I'm sure today. I haven't seen it. That's just a little clip I saw. I saw some of it yesterday. He was dropping N-bombs. Some people think if nobody can use that word. Some people think it's how you say it, you know, and yada, yada, yada. But I didn't really see a lot of him ripping Asian people. Like I said, I got to go back and watch the rest of it. And if I find more, then I will. But the one that a lot of people are talking about was that clip. And if he did, he did make a joke about Asian people driving. He totally did. However, he ripped black people in America way more, if you think about it, you know, because he went in further on that side. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. It's a short show. Enjoy your Thanksgiving if, in fact, you celebrate it. If not, enjoy the time off that I hope you got from work. But either way, enjoy. Try to get with some family or friends or just get off your feet. Sit back, relax, do what you got to do. Enjoy the fights. Let's hope that we get an interesting fight that we can really break down and sink our teeth into. Otherwise, next week, man, Wilder Fury. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. Now I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to get every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.